04HKX KA3JCA.
Yes, hey Richard.
Hey, I had a question for you. Is there a better, or when I say better device, is there a decent device for reading the codes from a car? Like, is there one particular brand over another that you might be aware of for the OBD port?
See, they depends on the brand of the car, because some scanners are stronger on domestic versus Asian or European, and so it just kind of depends on which one you got.
I currently have a Toyota RAV4 and a Ford Focus. Those are the two vehicles that I have. So something that would work with both of those. My main issues right now is Ashley's check engine light just came on, and I just want to see what it's saying.
Code reader, not a actual scan tool.
To kind of give me an idea, give me a heads up, because I remember I had an incident back in Delaware a couple of years back where I had a friend read it with their reader, and it told me what I did, and when I took it to the repair shop, they tried to tell me it needed a bunch of other stuff that it didn't need. So I'm just kind of trying to go in with a heads up.
All the code readers are pretty much the same. Launch is one of the big ones. Alltel is another one for your aftermarket code readers. And either one of those are going to be really good for what you're wanting to do.
Okay, Alltel, A-L-T-E-L?
A-U-T-E-L, yes. Or Launch, L-A-U-C-H.
That will help me out tremendously. I'll probably send Ashley up to the store here to pick one up.
Glad to help.
Sir, I hope you're having a wonderful day. And Ashley just went to pick up lunch for Sally, because she should be going on break here in about 20 minutes. So we'll be monitoring KA3JCA.
I'm just sitting here waiting on the other distributor I'm meeting for lunch today to get here. I got done a little early, so I just went ahead and pulled over here waiting on him.
Daniel, I think I told you this morning, I can't remember, but I did his radio last night.
This morning, and Daniel and I talked about it yesterday. He said he was coming over.
Found that old version of software yet. I'm actually looking for it now.
Find one that old. But I'm sure you can bring the firmware up to date on it to the same one mine is.
And I'm sitting here looking at that, and I'm just... Okay, I may have found it. Hold on a second. Let's see here. Yes, I did. I actually found it.
It's around there somewhere.
I think he had 1.10, because there's a CPS version, and there's also a firmware update from 1.0. But yes, it looks like I can, if he wants it brought up to date, I can bring it up to date to the 1.27.
And I'm going to try to do mine this weekend, bring it up to the 1.27.
Okay. Well, if you talk to him before I do, let him know that I did find the software, and I'm going to actually go ahead and download it, because I'll actually need that to get into his radio to go to the update, the firmware update tool.
That I can send him a text message.
You know what? I actually just realized, too, I have his phone number now, too. So, yeah, we swapped information, because I'm going to be picking up the net. We're going to alternate on Fridays for a little bit.
Be glad to hear you on there.
On there, and then once I kind of get a little comfortable with it, you'll start hearing Sally on calling the net, and then you'll hear Ashley calling the net.
Be a treat.
Used to do it like, I guess it was 2.5, 3 years ago, we did it. We would alternate one week I did it, then one week she'd do it. And then we got to a point where we were having competitions to see who had the most chickens. And, of course, being a YL and so forth like that, she'd always end up with more chickens than I did.
See how that happens, isn't it?
Oh, I meant to tell you, my dogs were going ballistic outside, and my daughter just went outside a minute ago and found like about an 8-foot black snake.
Trying to get his last meal in before the cold weather gets here.
I'm trying to get warm in the sun until my dogs found him, and then they cornered him. They were like a triangle, man, all three of them.
The mentality.
Two actually found a dead squirrel that they, one of them got a hold of, so I don't know which two were playing tug-of-war with it.
That ain't good.
For some reason, two of my dogs love finding rabbits or squirrels, and then they'll play with them, and then they'll bring them up near the deck here or the back porch, and they'll leave them in the grass, but they just leave them there.
Come to you as a treat.
My back road, roadkill stew. I don't do that anymore.
I know, but they think they're doing something when they bring you up, something like that, but mine used to do that, but now she's gotten so old, she'll smell them, she'll turn and look at them, and then she'll just go back to what she was doing.
And, maybe it was a hamster. I can't remember if it was a hamster or a gerbil she had as a pet, but we used to let the puppies... when I say puppies, they were dogs. Let's see, I think Abby and Coco were probably two, because Wrench wasn't born yet. So, yeah, about 2 years old. And we'd let the dog sit here, and then we'd lay here and pet him, and then Ashley would bring the gerbil or hamster in and lay it right there. And Abby Jean acted like a typical mother. She'd let the rodent come up next to it, but Coco was like, I don't think I want any of part of this.
They have their own personality, that's for sure. Everyone's different.
If anything were to happen with these puppies, I'll either get another lab. I like my golden retriever, but I think I like the lab better, or a German shepherd. I love German shepherds.
Shepherds are beautiful dogs and generally well-mannered. The only thing about me is the shedding, that constant shedding.
Abby Jean, the golden retriever, she sheds a lot, and I have to stay on it constantly. Coco is real short-haired, so he does shed a little bit, but not much. And then Wrench, which is a breed between the golden retriever and the lab, it's funny. His coat is a little bit thicker than the lab's, but not as thick as Abby Jean's, and so he sheds just as much. He seems to be a little bit more furrier and fluffier, but not as much as the golden retriever. KA3JCA with KO4HKX.
I thought I heard another station trying to get in there a second ago.
Got a dog's hours. Her last one lived about 16 years. It was a Nova Scotia Jug-Tolan retriever. Looked kind of like a small golden, but that rascal, he was like having a two-year-old all the time. He just got where he couldn't get around anymore. But kind of, he shed all over everything because it was a retriever, you know, type. He weighed about 40 pounds, I guess. But, yeah, at our age, we won't get any more dogs. But I think we had to put him down at least 10 years ago now, I suppose. About 10. I tell you what, that's hard losing a dog after you had him 16 years, even though he was a pill.
It is. I've had mine. She's 13 years old now. So I don't know what will happen when she goes.
I got two that are five and then one that's two. So I think this will be my last go-around with dogs, though, for sure.
We used to travel a good bit. We don't need more of it. So the stuff we got to do with our grandkids now, it's just, of course, they left us to get a dog. It's just too much trouble for us. I hate to leave them. We don't like having them in the house that much, and it's just, we couldn't get the exercise they needed. It's just not fair to the dog if you can't do that when our kids are younger is one thing, but, you know, it's just us happy in our 70s. It's just not as, I know a lot of people, they'll keep them, you know, when they're older like that and like them. But I tell you one thing, it really gets to be a, it can be a problem as you get older.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. My son moved out a year ago, and now my little dog, she's at the house most days by herself. And I don't know, I wouldn't get another one, but I'm not ready to get rid of her either.
53 now there, Patrick, and I just, since my health kind of went downhill, I can play with the dogs and stuff like that, but I have to be very careful when I get in my power chair. Because Coco, well, all three of the dogs weigh about 70 pounds, 68 to 70 pounds, and I've been pulled out of the chair one too many times, so I have to make sure I have my chest strap on, definitely. But I just, like I said, they're fun to play with, but it's getting to more than what I can handle.
As I worked with some quite a few years ago, when he left the company, he started doing dog training, and he did. He was a good trainer, evidently, because he trained dogs for some pretty important people in the Charlotte area, and he really worked well with people that people that were confined and that sort of thing. Because dogs are great companions if you can't get out, and the larger ones are good protective dogs too. It takes a lot of training though to get them to, especially if they're accustomed to a rough house and that sort of thing, to get them to calm down a little bit. And but it can be done though. A good trainer can do it. Sometimes the owner it's difficult for the owner to train them. It was for me. I could train mine up to a certain point, then after that point, you might have to turn to a pro to get them to do it right.
Yeah, I'm good with sit, stay. Basic commands and don't jump, stuff like that. But trying to get one to stay with me is where I have trouble with that one. If I was going to get another dog, I'd have it professionally trained. But gentlemen, I am going to jump out. The other distributor's pulling in now, so I'm going to say 73. Good to talk to both of you again today. KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear for now.
73, enjoy your lunch, sir, and I'll be doing the same here shortly. Yeah, I trained my golden retriever to help me with my diabetes. I managed to get a sample of high blood sugar, low blood sugar, and a normal sugar, and I was able to train her to at least alert me when it goes low. KA3JCA.
They're smart. I tell you, the dogs are a lot smarter than some humans. But Goldens are especially, I think it all depends on you. I think nowadays people are crossing them with poodles, golden doodles and labradoodles, and some of those dogs turn out to be really good. My brother-in-law has Alzheimer's, and he's just turned 65 or 66, I guess, and his daughter-in-law trains his crosses, and she got him it was a little bigger dog, but I think it was a Labrador. It might have been a golden doodle. I'm not sure which one it was, but it's a good-looking dog. It's a little bigger than they expected. That dog will go out and walk with him on a leash, and will walk him around the same. Just to let him get out so he kind of be on his own. The dog will walk around the same path and won't let him get off the sidewalk. And the dog is big enough where he can't move without her allowing him to. It really worked out well for them. But she trained that dog a long time to do that. Started out as a puppy, and the dog just done a great job with him. And like I said, it gives him some freedom and a little feeling of independence, which is good for a person in that kind of situation.
I took my dogs. I trained some of the basic stuff, but we did take them to a trainer, and they went through a three-week course where they had them Sunday through Friday. You'd pick them up Friday afternoon, you'd have them Friday, Saturday, and then dropped them back off Sunday, and it was basically for a total of 3 weeks. But the dogs do pretty good. They still have a tendency to pull on leash, which I don't like, but it's just one of those things. You just have to work with them every day, and if they start to pull, you have to stop and pull them back to you and make them sit and just wait, and eventually they'll get patient. I mean, my one dog, Abby, she's a golden retriever. She'll, like, if I tell her to leave something, she leaves it. Coco will leave it. He's the chocolate lab, Coco is. And if I tell him to leave it, he'll leave it, but his attention span, he tends to lose it quicker, and he'll want to go after it again, and I'll have to keep reminding him. But if I sit there and watch him, he won't touch it at all if I tell him to leave it. If I turn my back, he'll sneak in there and get it. KA3JCA.
You see, yeah, that's like the thing where if you catch your dog chewing on something or eating something you shouldn't eat, said, you know, as soon as you tell them to stop, they start eating faster.
I have one dog that loves napkins, and you know, I keep a few extra, like, kitchen napkins right here on my desk or on my chair here in case I knock my soda or something over. But he'll come in here and he'll jump on the bed and he'll grab, and it's like he wants to eat the whole pile of napkins. And as soon as I tell him to drop it, boy, it's like you said, he wants to scarf them up and swallow them real quick.
They're too smart for one dog, but not smart enough for a person. But they have a tendency to labs, especially, or have I think it's just part of the breeding, or, you know, just, you know, what lines they come from. Some of them are a little more hard-headed than others, but chances are good, too. But they're really tough to, I think they're a little harder to train. I have my little Toler, I had him where he'd obey hand commands and that sort of thing, but he'd get wild every once in a while and he'd take off. But, you know, he just needed a lot. My wife used to walk him 6 or 7 miles a day when I was traveling. And, you know, dogs like that, he's just a high energy dog. He needed a lot more exercise than we could actually give him. And he just, if you had him put up in a little period of time, just, you know, a couple of days, we'd lead him out, walk around, it's not good for him. And that's the reason when he was young, we decided not to replace him, and probably would not any other dogs at that time anyway. But, yeah, they just require, a lot of dogs require a lot of energy, and they just, and the training just goes on continuously, I guess. But getting them to walk on a slack leash, that's one of the most difficult things, I think, to get them to do, because they have a natural tendency to want to, you know, wander off course a little bit.
I do. Well, Abby Jean is pretty good staying by my side. That's the golden retriever. Coco, like I said, I could go out here. I could walk him around the neighborhood here. And it's about a little more than a mile loop that my daughter walks him. And then I can bring him back home and put him in the backyard and play ball with him. And he'll play ball. He'll want to play ball for the next 3 hours. That's how much energy he has.
It was the same way. He had, I mean, McHugh couldn't worry about it. He'd throw a decoy thing. He'd throw it out in the lake, you know, 100 times. He'd finally get tired after a while, but he could swim. He looked like a boat with a motor on him. He was so fast retrieving. I'd make him turn his back sometime and throw it out there, and then, you know, get him out there. He'd turn around and watch me, and I could tell him which way to go. And he would follow that most of the time. But sometimes he just loved the water. He'd go down, if he saw a creek or anything, he'd just go down, he just loved to, he'd just sit in with just nothing but his head out of the water. But he was the same way. We had one of these little rope things where he was kind of knotted on each end. And he liked to do a little tug of war with that. Then he'd throw it and he'd pick it up. Then he'd grab it. I mean, let this thing drop. And just run around the house as fast as he could. He'd toss it up there and just switch ends in midair with that thing. It was just amazing to see how fast he was. And there were only, when we got this one back quite a few years ago, And there were only about 600 in the U.S. then, and now they're a more established breed. But they're really high energy, and they're one of those dogs like kind of like a border collie or something. They need a job in order to keep them from being too active.
Development, but I told my wife, I said, you know, a couple years from now when we decide what we want to do, I may buy up some land, and I want to buy something like 10 or 20 acres of land and just build my house right smack dab in the middle of it. And not that I don't want neighbors, but this way I can put up my antennas and put me up a little shack and have all my radios in there and not disturb her and have a dog and he can run and play and so forth like that.
Like a great idea. I wish I'd done something like that earlier, but you know, I changed jobs a lot. They moved me around, and I think we moved 8 or 9 times in the last 40 years. We've been here 27 now. The name here is Jerry, by the way. I know I've heard you on before, but I didn't catch your name. But I always intended to do that, just never did it. So if you have an opportunity, don't wait too late for it, because evidently nothing's getting any cheaper. And if you get to a point where you're able to do that, that'd be a great, great idea to have something like that. And people just having a property and have some distance between you and other people I think that's a great idea. I got one of the guys my son works with. He lives in Abbeville County. He works here in Anderson, but he drives back and forth every day. But he's got like, I think he bought up maybe 40 or 50 acres, maybe more than that. And he built a house out there, and he built one that's got uses a steel frame construction instead of 2x4s. That thing is just as square and level as it can be. He's also got a place out there. He's a big hunter and target shooter. He's got it built in a berm out there, and he's got a 300-yard range there. And got it. They got the shooting positions covered. He just got a real neat setup. And that's one of those ideal things. I don't think he paid. Of course, he's had it now 4 or 5 years. He did most of the work himself. But he just got a beautiful little setup out there. But it's just that too far out for us at our age. We'd need to be a little closer to doctors and that sort of thing. Of course, with our grandchildren still. Just 10 and 12 right now, but we'll give them another few years, and we won't be seeing them very often. But it'd be great for a younger couple to be able to do something like this. You never go wrong buying property.
I know what you mean there. The name here is Richard. Yeah, I unfortunately I'm up in age too. I'll be 63 this year, and I moved around a lot. My dad was in the military. And then, of course, when I joined the military, I was in Texas, then Mississippi, then Delaware. Then I medically discharged from the service in Delaware. Then I lived in Florida for a while. And then I settled here in South Carolina. So I'm over here in Simpsonville. And my wife's from Greenville. My stepdaughter's from Greenville, so she lives with us. But, yeah, I would love to buy the land right now. I can tell you that it's not going to happen in my lifetime. But at least I've got a nice house, nice square footage, a nice big backyard, and I plan on leaving it to my daughter. So at least she'll have something that she can have her call home, KA3JCA.
That's still, it's always something good to think about. Yeah, we moved here back in 90. First time I moved back in 92, stayed away about 6 months, and came back in 90. Well, we moved to 94, came back in 95, but we lived in Rock Hill for about 16 or 17 years. We really loved it up there, but it's changed so much up there now. I didn't recognize it the last time I went through there. My daughter graduated from Winthrop. She's been down about 10 or 12 years now, I guess. But we really like that area. But I like Anderson pretty well too. They live in Greenville. It's actually kind of in Malden. They live not too far from where that Fisher Middle School lives, just off Millennium Parkway.
have talked to you before, because my mom and dad are kind of from Rock Hill area. That's where they wanted to be buried in Rock Hill, so that's where they're at. But my grandfather used to have Brannon's Variety Store there off of Mount Gallant Road, not too far down from Cherry. I mean, you turn right onto Mount Gallant and go down about two or three blocks right across from a Baptist church, I think it was. He had a little variety store on the way to Lake Wiley that people would stop in and pick up bait and snacks and drinks and burgers to take with them to the lake. KA3JCA.
I've spoken before. Yeah, I remember that. I asked my wife about it the last time you and I spoke, and she said, I remember that place. My wife worked for Warren Norman's real estate guy there, Ralph Norman, and she managed the Northwoods apartment complex right there I guess it's selling these, I suppose it was. I don't remember. I can't remember the names of the people, I suppose. It's right there where the food line was there. But I remember that in a little variety store very well before it got developed down that way. And, I remember exactly where that place was. That place is just, that whole area has changed so much. We went through there my son-in-law's parents both moved to Pineville from Pennsylvania. They both passed away a few years ago, within a year of each other. And last time we were through there, it was his dad's mother's funeral, I suppose. And it was just unreal how much it changed. I didn't recognize anything towards Pineville or in outside of Fort Mill. We lived in Fort Mill for 5 years, but she still managed the apartment complex there. But the Normans don't own that anymore now. And Ralph's, he's a U.S. congressman now for that district. But we loved it up there. It was just, we moved there in 1978, and it was it wasn't growing like it is now, but it was growing pretty heavily then. But we loved it up there.
I'm going to have to talk some more about that, because I think my granddaddy shop was still there in 77, 78, because I graduated in 77. And there was that Howard Johnson's that was right there on Cherry Lane, Cherry Road. And I had an uncle that he went in and he actually redid the whole inside, the cabinetry and so forth like that. He was into carpentry and woodworking, and then I have another uncle that I guess his wife is from Pineville and Fort Mill area, in that area, and that they now live over in Chester County here. So, alrighty, well, my daughter just got here with lunch, and I'm going to go eat, sir. It was a pleasure talking with you, Jerry, and we'll catch you back down on the logbook later, KA3JCA.
Enjoy lunch and enjoy talking. We'll get together again and see if we can get everything to line up. But yeah, I remember it very well. Matter of fact, when we first moved there, Bridget put me up in an old Holiday Inn. I think it might have been Ramada Inn over there, just off the 77. We got them to move us to Howard Johnson. We stayed in Howard Johnson for probably 4 or 5, 6 weeks or more before we moved into the apartment. We'll have a great lunch. Enjoy talking with you. Talk to you later. 73 N4DJC clear.